Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Last time we talked to him, he was getting a haircut. Unofficial weight of what was on his head, 3 pounds. Stanford, how's that head feeling now? Stanford Rout joining us.
Man, guys, what's going on? The head is feeling great.
Hey, man, I'm going to need y'all to do me a favor. First of all, Landry, I'm going to need you not to ask that grown man how that head was and then how the head is doing. But I don't need you to respond saying that head was great. My head is feeling great. I'm going to need that to cease and desist right here and now.
I'm going to save that one.
Yeah, you got it. Please save that one.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. This is Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, Texan threats or neglect? Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs. Are they a threat to the Texans or do you need to neglect them? We're going to go down the list. Kansas City Chiefs, returning Super Bowl champs, the Texans' opponents in a few weeks, less than 9 weeks to be exact. Threat or neglect?
They are the ultimate threat to the Houston Texans and everybody else in the league right now, man. They got the $500 million quarterback. They're probably going to re-sign Chris Jones any minute now. Chris, listen, the Chiefs are the biggest threat, period. So you know they're a threat to the Houston Texans. That's an easy one.
Baltimore Ravens, team that beat the Texans 41-7 last year. They've added a couple pieces on offense in the draft. Evan Duvernay out of Texas. J.K. Dobbins out of the Ohio State University. Baltimore Ravens, threats or neglect in 2020?
41-7. You remember that?
I do.
You remember that?
I do.
Yeah, they are definitely a threat to the Houston Texans. The Ravens are the second best team in the AFC and arguably top three in the entire NFL. They haven't figured out a way to win a playoff game since Lamar Jackson's been the quarterback, but they still are a threat to everybody involved, including the Chiefs, so they're for sure a threat to the Houston Texans.
Indianapolis Colts added Phillip Rivers, added DeForest Buckner on that defense. Banged up last year. I kind of feel like we forget that Andrew Luck retired before the season. I think people kind of act like they were just a disappointment. When your quarterback retires a month before the season, typically you're going to fall off. They also had a lot of injuries. Best offensive line in football, arguably. Indianapolis, threats or neglect for the 2020 Texans?
The Colts are neat. They're not a threat, and they're not a neglect. They're neat. That means that initially when you hear them, you just say, you should neglect them. But as the season goes on, if Phillip Rivers and that team can kind of get that chemistry that they're not going to be able to gain in this offseason like you normally would, they could turn into a threat. So the Colts are neat, man.
Also added Jonathan Taylor, running back, Michael Pittman Jr. at receiver. I think they're a threat.
Okay.
Wade wants to pat him on the head and call him cute. Tennessee Titans, team that went to the AFC Championship last year in Mike Vrabel's second season, which means every team in the division since Bill O'Brien's been head coach has been to the AFC Championship except the Houston Texans. Lost Jarrell Casey, lost Jack Conklin, their starting right tackle, replaced him in the draft, though. They got returning weapons. They got arguably the best receiver in the AFC South now and second-year guy A.J. Brown. Tennessee Titans, threats or neglect to the 2020 Texans?
So they're definitely a threat, and they're a threat because, for one, half of their coaching staff used to be Houston Texan coaches, so they know straight up and down, top to bottom, what the Texans are going to do. But then something that's different that they have that the Texans don't is offensively they have an identity. And so they are most certainly a threat to everybody in the AFC and especially to the Houston Texans in this division trying to win another AFC South championship. Excuse me.
So they are a threat. Jacksonville.
Come on, bro.
Neglect?
Come on, man.
Sorry for asking.
Where's Jalen? Where's Jalen? Thank you.
Come on, man.
Patriots with Cam Newton.
They're definitely a threat. If you would have asked me where they are a threat, 2 weeks ago, I probably would have said that they were neat. But right now, they're for sure a threat because Cam Newton's going to be out there running that offense very similar to what Josh McDaniels did with Tim Tebow back in the day with the Broncos. And that team went, I think, to the second or third round of the playoffs, went to the AFC Championship game and lost. the Patriots are going to be right back in the mix. I know the Buffalo Bills are probably the worst, the maddest team when you look at they were going to win the division running away without Cam Newton. Now they're in for everything that they can get. Definitely the Patriots are a threat.
Around the league here on In the Loop, Smitty in for J-Lo. So we got the Pats as a threat. You just mentioned them. Buffalo Bills had the Texans against the ropes, 16-0 in that playoff game. Ended up kind of tricking it off. They clearly needed some talent on the outside. They had that in Stephon Diggs. Good defense. Ed Oliver returning in year two. A lot of little receivers. Some versatility out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bills in 2020, threat or neglect?
They're a threat, man. Listen, their defense is still going to be one of the best in the league. They added Stephon Diggs. The only thing you worry about with the Bills is what kind of quarterback is Josh Allen going to mature and become? Because right now, he's a guy that runs all over the place and he can make plays, but he also does dumb stuff. Remember that little flip that he did in the game against the Texans? I don't know what the hell he was doing. He does goofy stuff like that. He's not very accurate sitting in the pocket making throws. But the good thing for the Bills is they know that he's not that, and they play to his strengths, and they give him opportunities to run the ball. They do a lot of play action with him. So the Bills are going to be right in the thick of the things. They are a threat.
He can hum that thing, though. He can hum it, and he can run. Bills, I agree with you, definitely a threat. Pittsburgh, they were competing in the playoff spot last year, lost Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger's coming back. Probably going to be one of the best defenses in the league once again. The Minkah Fitzpatrick deal paid off. He was an all-pro. Also have T.J. Watt, one of the best players, if not one of the best players, defensive players in the NFL. James Conner missed some time last year. You got him back. The Antonio Brown drama, you don't have that. Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger. Threats or neglect for the Texans?
Got to call it the Steelers a threat. The fact of the matter is last year, they should have really not competed at all. They had so many guys that missed, so many key guys that missed, and Tomlin did an excellent job of getting them in the mix. They had guys named Duck starting for them. If you got a guy named Duck starting for your quarterback, you have no shot.
Duck Hodges.
And so the fact is, Steelers are a threat because they got all those guys coming back. They got Roethlisberger coming back. You mentioned it. The receiver's going to be back. They're going to be right back in the mix because the Steelers always are in the mix. When they're healthy, they're a competitive team. They're a threat.
Team that a lot of people were high on last year. I was not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm actually drinking the Kool-Aid on this team this year. The Cleveland Browns with third-year quarterback Baker Mayfield. They added Jack Conklin from the Tennessee Titans to help on the offensive line. They also drafted arguably the best tackle in the past draft. They added Austin Hooper, who was leading all tight ends in receptions before he went down from Atlanta. They still have money to where they could add Jadeveon Clowney, Odell Beckham, not banged up this offseason, Jarvis Landry on the outside, one of the best wide receiver duos in the league, and Nick Chubb, a good running back. But it all comes down to the quarterback in the big scheme of things. Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns, threats or neglect for the 2020 Houston Texans, who they do play this year?
Yeah, I'm going to neglect the Browns because I've learned my lesson on crowning them boys. I thought that they were going to be a good football team last year. I thought they had so much talent on that offense that they'd be unstoppable, and they looked terrible out there. They were nowhere near they never lived up to anywhere near to their abilities. And so until they show me that they can actually go out there and perform and make big plays in big games against good football teams, I'm not going to believe in them, so I'm going to neglect the Browns.
Las Vegas Raiders. It's weird to say that.
Yeah. You got it right on the first go, though. You hesitated half a count, but you knocked it out. That's legit there, Landry.
Scrappy bunch last year. Offense completely fell apart. They feel they've addressed that this offseason. Again, no Antonio Brown drama. They've added Jerry Jeudy from the Raiders. They've tried to add some speed on offense. The Raiders, in regards to the 2020 Texans, threat or neglect?
So their offense for sure is a threat. I love their offensive line. I love their running game. I love the receivers they drafted. They're good there. The quarterback is good enough, I think, to win you ball games. So they'll be a threat. I'm not sure about their defense. I'm not sold on their defense. I'm going to call them a threat because I like Mike Mayock and his ability to find talent. I think I agree with a lot of his his thought process is when he's trying to bring guys in, or when he's talking about guys that he likes. And so I'm going to expect that he's going to find some young talent on that defense that helps them get better on that side of the ball. So I'm going to say the Raiders are a threat.
All right. They beat the crap out of the Texans last year. However, didn't have a great season. Drew Lock and the Denver Broncos added some pieces on offense. By the way, they got Ruggs. Excuse me for mixing up the Alabama receivers. Ruggs is actually the one that went to the Raiders. Judy's the one that the Broncos got. You got Drew Lock coming in year two. Added some running back help in Melvin Gordon. So you got the duo of Melvin Gordon and Lindsey. Von Miller, big year for him because there's no more real guaranteed money for him. So he's going to have to bounce back. The Denver Broncos, threat or neglect for the 2020 Texans?
So the Broncos are going to be a threat, and the reason they're going to be a threat is because their defense is legit. They're matching the amount of investment and money they've put in on their defense, and guys like Kareem Jackson and Von Miller. They're matching that on offense with their draft picks and with bringing in guys like Melvin Gordon. The Broncos are going to be right there in the thick of things in the AFC West. It's going to be the Chiefs, and then you're going to have three different teams that are battling out for second place. And so AFC West is going to be fun to watch, but Broncos definitely a threat.
The final bunch of teams, are any of these teams a threat? The Los Angeles Chargers, the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Bengals. Are any of those a threat?
So I think the Chargers will be a threat because that team is always solid. Phillip Rivers was losing them games. I think Tyrod Taylor is one of those quarterbacks that's not going to lose guys games. And so their defense is so young and talented that they'll be able to slow down anybody. So the Chargers will be a threat. The Jets and the Dolphins, they're not threats yet. I mean, the Dolphins will be the closer thing to a threat than the Jets will. And the Bengals, neglect. Even though Joe Burrow is going to be a good quarterback.
They got some talent, though.
They got some talent, and Burrow's going to be good. But who's on their defense besides DJ Reader? DJ Reader, and they got Geno Atkins, and then who else?
A lot of meat up front, Mike. Goodness, that's tough. Don't run the rock on them, man. Are we going there again?
What are we doing right
that's
now?
A lot of beef.
I just had to look at Figgy. I just had to look at Figgy.
A lot of beef.
I didn't even say
Lampard, nothing. How's that head John feeling Lopez. Now?
The head is feeling great.
In the Loop Sports Radio 610. You know what? Smitty's got me angry. So we're gonna talk about impressive real world feats, headline porn. We're also gonna talk about Smitty's mama. Next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, we're talking about Smitty's mom now.
Are we doing it now?
We're doing it now.
Okay. What do you want to know, man?
Well, we have a loophole named Ty who listens to the show, and shout out to the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. And I knew Ty Bold. And I see him post his scores, and I'm just kind of like, damn, 225, 247. It's always in the twos. So you know he's a good bowler. Ty just bowled a perfect game.
300.
Which I thought was impressive.
Perfect.
Because it's something I'll never do. It's something I bet few just average Joes have done. I've known a lot of people that like to bowl. Most of them like to smoke a lot of cigarettes, too, and drink, like, watered down beer.
Natural
but
light.
a lot of them have not Keystone. A lot of them have not bowled a 300. And I thought it was cool. And I told Smitty, I said, damn, our guy Ty bowled a perfect game. And Wade Smith basically hiked his leg on it like John McClane and acted like I might as well have said that he pulled into a parking spot, because Wade Smith was not impressed, because he's known somebody for his entire life that did the same damn thing.
So, first of all, I didn't hike my leg on the accomplishment of bowling the 300, because I know how hard it is to do. All I did was let Landry know that way back, and I believe it was like in, I don't know, 91, 92. This is a long time ago. My mom bowled a 300.
Man.
And I was like, because mind you, at that time I was like 10 or 11 years old. I'm in the arcade playing video games while my mom's at the bowling alley. She bowled in a bowling league. She still does to this day. And somebody was like, you got to come over here.
What were you playing?
Probably, what's the name of the game with, it's Ty. It's like a karate game. I can't think of the name right now. Ty is one of the fighters on the game. He did like kickboxing.
Street Fighter?
Not Street Fighter, no, bro. It's a more of an
Mortal
underground
Kombat?
Game. No, it's not that either. Somebody will come. It's text it in 713-572-4610. It is the game where it's like three different main characters on it that you can choose, and one of them's name is Ty, and he had like and he did karate.
Okay.
He had like long. He looked kind of like Liu Kang, but it was a different game. I can't think of the name of the game right now. But I was playing that game, and somebody ran over there like, "Hey, your mom's about to bowl a 300. Come look." And so I come over there, and the entire bowling alley is surrounding her lane. Watching, and I see her bowl the last strike. She bowls a 300. She's got a big plaque in her house right now that has a 300 on there. So I just wanted to let you know that, you know, the apple don't fall too far from the tree, man. We got athletes in the Smith household, baby.
Your mom bowled a 300.
She bowled a 300. Yeah.
Damn, that's awesome, man. That's really cool. And the thing about bowling a 300 is, I guess the balls have gotten like the bowling balls have gotten better, but the thing about it is bowling 300 is bowling 300.
Pit like, Fighter, that's the name of the game.
Pit Fighter.
Yes, sir.
There we go.
Pit Fighter, that is the name of the game. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but
no.
Yes, yeah, that
no,
was the name of the game.
I know
Pit
what it's
Fighter.
Like when you get something on
yes,
that,
sir.
Something in your mind and you don't
now
have
I'm going
to
go play
there
it. I'm going to try to find it and play it. That game was dope.
But like when you golf, the clubs are just like night and day. Like it's ridiculous. Like
yeah.
I'm not taking anything away from anyone who gets a hole-in-one. It's on a similar level, but more people do that. Bowling a 300 is bowling a 300.
Yeah.
Period.
No question about it.
It's not
legit.
Like passing yards being less impressive now than they were. You bowl 300, you bowl 300.
Perfect.
Yeah, it ain't like, oh, you bowled a 300 in 2020. That ain't really popping. I remember back in 1983 when I bowled my 300. The game was different back then. No. If you bowled a 300 when it was 1955, but when you bowl a 300 today, that's a legit accomplishment. To be able to throw 12 strikes in a row?
No. That's not. I mean, you can't minimize that. That's ridiculous. Shout out to Wade's mom for doing her thing there. You mentioned arcades, and I'm a '90s kid.
Uh huh.
That's the one thing of all the things we talk about. Like we can reminisce on some '90s stuff, and I can say you know the days of Blockbuster and all that. But really, it's better now. Like you can just stay at your crib and you can basically rent a movie like you would have from Blockbuster. Like. Now, I get the negatives, Wade. I get that you don't have that thrill. You don't have that suspense. But for the most part, your movie's there and you can figure out it's convenient.
Yeah.
The lack of arcades now sucks, man. You have no idea how great it used to be going to an arcade. Because not only did they have them, and they might have them now, new games were dropping like every other month. You didn't know what everything was because you didn't have the internet. So you were basically walking into something uncertain. You weren't Googling and seeing what the new arcade games were. So you'd walk down. The new NBA Jam would be out. It'd be the new Simpsons. Remember the Simpsons game? Remember the Ninja Turtles?
Yes. You could play with four players at the same time.
The wrestling, the hockey, air hockey.
Yeah, air hockey. Remember pole position? You could actually climb inside and drive the car yourself.
The thing that could spin, and then you would have to try to get it on the tickets. Like, all the games were just insane. They don't have that anymore, man. I don't think you realize what it's like. And you also it also kind of taught kids how to plan accordingly because your mom gives you a five or whatever. You go get your tokens.
He was rolling in dough, baby.
Five one, whatever.
Dude, I wouldn't have left the whatever arcade. I'm there out for
five,
hours.
One,
$5, baby.
You got the quarters. Back then, a credit was one, too. So
yeah.
It seems like at some point they started going to a credit equals 50 cents. They got a little greedy.
Uh-huh.
But back then, if you had a dollar, you had four plays. If you had $5, you had 20 plays.
Mm-hmm.
And you were rolling around. And you had to use your money wisely. You had to figure it out. And you really had to creep the seam. Were you ever a swacker, though, in those games?
What is a swacker? What is that?
A swacker is where you steal someone's swagger or you steal someone's shine. So, like, let's say someone's playing the Ninja Turtle game.
Uh-huh.
And let's say they're on, like, the second-to-last level. Did you ever get in line behind them because you knew this dude was running out of quarters? And then as soon as he's out, boom, I'm right in there and I'm about to beat the game. That's swacking right there.
That's happened to me.
Like the Simpsons game.
I was on the receiving end of that. I didn't know that's
game,
what you called it.
You're playing the Simpsons game and you're about to get there to Mr. Burns. And they're on the last level. And you can see this dude's quarter stack getting down. And you can see his life getting low. As soon as he goes down, push him out of the way, and I'm in there all the way.
Continue?
I didn't earn my way. I'm in there.
Nah, you're the worst. I used to hate that kid that would do that because I'd run out of money. And you could be a hell of a player. I don't care what arcade game you're playing. if you're really good, if you don't have enough money, it's not going to allow you to beat the game.
No,
so
no,
you can get
it's
close.
Impossible. It's impossible.
You can get close, and then that person that will come afterwards, you just sit there and look like, I ain't watching this and walk off.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's man. Those are good old days, man.
Man, you,
arcades,
you
bro.
Beat the game, you just felt good, but you felt good no matter what. You don't want to be beginning to end. And then the Simpsons, Bart's like skateboarding, and you have all that stuff. Man, the arcade days were
Street
nice.
Fighter, Mortal Kombat.
Street Fighter.
Paperboy. Like every kind of, every Paperboy. All of the great games that were on like Nintendo originally were arcade games.
I never felt the car games as much as a lot of people. I was never into the car, into like the getting in and driving the car.
Yeah.
Cruising USA, I did, but some of it just got a little
Have you seen the movie Daryl?
Uh-uh.
Okay, so Daryl is a movie where it's like this little boy. He was I guess half human, or he was just an android, I think it was, but he played the game Pole Position on like a computer. This is an 80s movie. It's probably like in 1985 or something like that, whatever. And after you see that movie, and then you can go to the bowling alley the next couple of days and Pole Position right there. You're trying to drive the car in Pole Position like the kid did on Daryl. I never could do it that well, but. Yeah, that was one of the best games out back then, Pole Position.
Did you like putt-putt? Like miniature golf?
Yeah, I mean, when I got older, like for date night or something with my girl in college or in high school, you go on a date, putt-putt.
This is immature as hell, but it still happens sometimes when you go.
It's a cheap date, bro.
Me and my buddies still gamble on miniature golf, and we'll get a little bit lit before we go and just go play mini golf.
I could see where it would be fun to do that if you're drinking and playing putt-putt
and
then putting money on the line,
too. Two-on-two, it's always two-on-two.
Yeah.
And we play like multiple games of putt-putt. We'll get intense on the putt-putt. Again, that's another thing that's not what it once was. Getting on the putt-putt. The go-karts, I'm always getting kicked out there.
I can't fit in a go-kart anymore, dog. Those days have gone. When I mess around, my knees would be jacked up. I say that for my kids, man.
Man, shout out to the 90s and the arcades. My goodness, that was love. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Let's put a bow on things. Headline porn. Not only was it headline porn, it was headline milk porn / goat porn or something like that. What happened to J.J. Watt yesterday? I'm still sickened by it. We'll hear what happened next.
Pornography on your computer?
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Yesterday, J.J. Watt did an interview on Pro Football Talk. He had some good information in that interview, and at the end, he joked around. He shouted out Gatorade, one of his sponsors, and then he joked around about not playing football in 2020. Here's the actual context of what the best player in franchise history said yesterday.
Gatorade's been good to me, and they've always helped me beat the heat, so I'm just trying to pass on the message.
I saw a tweet that you had about a month ago about the possibility of the face shield inside the face mask all the way down. That does not beat the heat, does it?
My second year in the league, you know, I thought it'd be cool. I put a visor on my head. I was like, it looks so cool. I want to put a visor on. I had it on for about three periods of practice, and I said, take this sucker off. I'm going to die out here. I literally, just the face one. So now you're going to put something around my mouth, and you can keep that. If that comes into play, I don't think you're going to see me out there on the field.
Well, hey, JJ, we wish you all the best. We hope football gets it all figured out. Hope to see you on the field this season. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks, I appreciate it. Have a good one.
All right, take care, pal.
All right, it seemed innocent enough. Then why in the hell, when I turned on ESPN, Wade Smith in for John Lopez, did they start the show off with this?
J.J. Watt says he won't play if he has to wear a face shield. Clinton Yates, we'll start with you. Around the horn to you. The floor is yours. Go.
I kind of love this from J.J. Watt. I don't necessarily always love everything he does.
I mean, he treated it like it was this breaking news, shocking revelation from J.J. Watt, the face of the franchise of the Houston Texans, that is put his foot down and drawn a line in the sand, and it's not going to happen like John McClain. Listen, man, he was joking. He was laughing the entire time. For you, ESPN, to put a whole segment together, do a whole show to lead it off with that topic when, you know, good and well, it wasn't legit. Either you weren't paying attention or you did it on purpose. Either way, you're not doing your job. It's a bad look for ESPN, man.
It's a terrible look for ESPN. I mean, it's either lazy or it's selectively stupid. Because I refuse to believe that someone legitimately watched that and within the context of it thought that was something that you should present with the headline, J.J. Watt says he'll refuse to play. So I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, so pick one, ESPN. Are you lazy or are you selectively stupid? And they weren't the only ones that did it. It's one or the other. And that's why you got to consume your information the way that you see fit. But my goodness, very strange by ESPN. Elsewhere, Rockets. The plane took off for Orlando. James Harden, not there. Russell Westbrook, not there. That's really all we know. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you.
That's all I know.
They ain't there.
He's like, hey, we getting on the bubble? Yeah, I ain't going to be there. Listen, man. James Harden shows a propensity to want to go out and enjoy life. When you go out and enjoy life in today's day and age, it might cost you. So hopefully that's not the case. And hopefully, you know, maybe he just woke up later, or maybe he had too much, too many items to pack in his suitcase, and so he had to come separately. Maybe he had just something going on to the side that had to get worked out, and he had to join the team at a later date. But he needs to get into camp sooner than later. The Rockets have a lot of work to do if they want to win a championship, if they want to compete for a championship. They got a lot of new pieces that are around. Those guys need to be there if they're going to give them a chance. Those two, especially James Harden, Russell Westbrook, you're going to need them to be at their best in order for the Rockets to have any kind of a chance.
Speculation is natural during these times, especially when someone's not on a plane. So we can speculate, but let's just lay out the facts that we know about James Harden when it comes to what has happened since the pandemic has gone on. Fact number one, he clearly wants to play. He's talked about playing. He's put up workout videos. Mm-hmm. He clearly wants to play. So based on that, it's hard for me to believe, based on that fact, that he didn't get on that plane because he doesn't want to play basketball. That's fact number one. Fact number two, he's been out and about. There was the video on social media of his party, his private party during the quarantine. There's been videos of him working out with multiple people running up hills. There's been a video of him and Lil Baby riding in a Lamborghini around downtown. That's fact number two. He's been out and about. Fact number three, he's not on the plane. So we have to put all these facts together, and all we can do is speculate. But I'll say this way, and this is the disappointing part about it. And this is even like if James Harden does not have any virus, let's say it's something that has nothing to do with coronavirus. Let's just say it does.
Mm-hmm.
The disappointing thing for me, as someone who benefits from the success of James Harden, so let's just look at this through a fan perspective, and let's look at this through a media type perspective. When our teams do good, the city's happier, everybody's happier, the economy seems to be happier, everybody's in a good mood, and we could use that.
Mm-hmm.
So from a perspective of somebody who wants that to happen, when I see a guy like Carlos Correa come out and say, I don't want my beauty pageant wife going out to beauty salons because that increases the likelihood of me potentially getting the virus. And keep in mind, beauty salons are being safe as hell. Some of them look like they're going to outer space with some of the outfits they're wearing if you look at some of these damn nail salons.
Yeah.
When I hear Carlos Correa say that, that makes me feel pretty good. When I hear J.J. Watt say, you know, I've been able to get my work in because I have a gym at home and I've been able to do all this stuff, that makes me feel good because it shows that the success and the caution and the discipline that's going to take during these times to reach that, to win that ultimate prize are a top priority. I don't feel that way with James Harden. And again, it's his right. He's made more money than most of us will ever make in our entire lives. Or I'd say 99.9%. I mean, he has made nine figures in his life, and he's going to continue to make that bread. So it's his right. He can do whatever he wants. But as far as someone who wants the teams to reach their ultimate peak, when James Harden has this type of opportunity where things are shaped up for the Rockets better than they had been had there not been a pandemic, because you don't have to go to L.A. on the road. You got a chance to win that one championship ring that solidifies the legacy. when I see the way James Harden has handled it, regardless of whether he's got it or not, just the risk that he's taken compared to a guy like a Carlos Correa and compared to a guy like a J.J. Watt, when it comes to me wanting him to be successful, it disappoints me, Wade.
Listen, when you're a fan of a team or you cover somebody and you want to see them be successful, what you want to see from them is being willing to sacrifice and do whatever it's necessary to put themselves in a position to win. And so by him putting certain things out on social media or things getting out on social media, different videos, putting yourself in a position where you can be the object of criticism and speculation, that's a problem, especially when you're the leader of the team, especially when you are somebody that is looking to solidify your legacy as one of the greatest players to ever lace them up. And so hopefully it's a scenario where it's something positive. I mean, not positive, but it's not as bad as we think it could be. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully it's just something that is going to be done with and over with in the next day or so. But if not, that's a big problem for him. It's a big problem for the Houston Rockets because he's absolutely key, absolutely necessary to the Rockets having any kind of success in the 2020 season.
And I mean, the bottom line is that 21 days from now, on the 31st, you're facing the Dallas Mavericks. You're currently the 6th seed. They're the 7th seed. You lose to the Mavericks. Let's say Harden and Westbrook can't go. Let's say they're not ready to go. You're a half game out of falling into the 7th spot, which would mean you'd face the Clippers in the second round. So the bottom line is affected. The speculation is high. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I think this needs to be mentioned, too. We don't know why they weren't on that plane. There's clues and facts that lead you to wonder why they're not on that plane, he and Westbrook. But while there's also clues that James Harden's been a little bit more reckless and that he lives a certain type of lifestyle, like Ezekiel Elliott, that would lead you to think that it would be more difficult for him to have to follow the precautions in place during this time. Russell Westbrook, I've seen a lot of people say, well, Russell Westbrook doesn't live the same lifestyle as James Harden. Like, it's not the exact same thing.
One guy's a single lifestyle, and Westbrook is the married lifestyle. And Westbrook is, I mean, I wouldn't call him a homebody, but you see him out and about with his wife all the time. You know, he's a family guy. That's what you see out of him. Both of those guys, though, what you've seen over this break is they're working. Like, both of them have been working. Some have just been working in a little bit more safer conditions or circumstances than others. And so that's where there's pause and kind of, you know, you're a little nervous about what's going on with them. Either way you slice it, if it is a scenario where they have to miss a couple of weeks, I don't think anybody would miss any games. But what the problem is going to cause is that they don't have time to work together and work out some of these new pieces like Robert Covington and getting guys back in the fold, Eric Gordon being back in the fold at full strength, and working that small ball lineup in practices, leading them, getting themselves back in shape and ready to play high-quality basketball. You only got 8 games in a regular season, and then you're right into the playoffs. And so they need to be clicking and hitting on all cylinders as soon as the ball is tipped the first game of the regular season. The more time they miss right now, the worse it'll be for the Rockets. So hopefully this is just a day or two thing, and they'll be back sooner than later. But if not, this could have lasting effects.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 3523 on the text line says, terrible take, Landry. All we have seen is him working out during COVID. He dropped like 20 pounds working out. All right, first of all, what take? Like, summarize it for me. You're jumping to your own conclusion. I laid out facts. Give me the take, first of all. Second of all,
he been out and about.
20 pounds? You lose 20 pounds? That's supposed to prove anything in any speculation? Good Lord. Go read a second grade science book, 3523. Just kidding. Love you very much. Have a good weekend. Patrick Beverley is loving every second of the bubble. This is a video that the former Rocket, current Clippers guard, put out. Is this MTV Cribs or is this the Disney bubble?
Yeah, man. I got a little setup here. Yeah, got the sage going over here. Got a nice little view here. Yeah, man. Electronic system here. Okay. And I got them white tees. Y'all get at me, man. Bubble, what you make it, man?
The bubbles, what you make it, man. You got the right attitude, the right mentality going into something that is an adverse situation. It's not ideal. You would rather be in your own home city and being able to go home each and every night. Instead, you're away from your families. You can make the best out of the situation, or you complain the whole time. And so the guys that buy in early and often, those guys and those teams are going to be the most successful. Those are going to be the ones with the right attitude, and they're going to be able to follow the rules the right way and put themselves in the best position to succeed. You've seen that for Pat Bev. He's all about ball, and you know he wants to win. He's got that dog that everybody loved when he was here in Houston. Now he's out there in L.A. with the Clippers, and he knows he's got Kawhi Leonard, and he's got Paul George. He's got a lot of guys around him that's going to help him win a championship. It all starts with your attitude, man. So it's good to see that Pat Bev is continuing to be who we've always known him to be, and they're about to go out there and shine.
He might actually have an advantage in this situation, honestly.
What's that?
Beverly.
What's that?
I mean, I just feel like he's a lot more comfortable living like this than 90% of the guys that are in that bubble.
And what do you mean by that? Why do you say that?
I just think he embraces it. I think he's got.
He embraces the suck?
I mean, you've already had Rajon Rondo complaining about who's on the Lakers complaining.
You know, I don't mess with Rondo, though.
Yeah.
You already know why I don't mess with that guy no more. He quit. So I'm cool on Rondo. So that doesn't surprise me. If you can quit a team in the middle of the playoffs, you can not want to go in a bubble. That is Rondo. Rondo is Rondo.
And they also have J.R. Smith, the Lakers do, who picked up his food outside the hall with some teammates, and then apparently he was Instagram living too much because you can hear the text message. You'll hear a text alert from, I don't know who, somebody that's telling him to log off and quit giving so much information. Here's J.R. Smith up to his old ways.
We out here. Sack lunches and Word. Eat Lunchables, Mikey. You're fruit by the foot and like I'm 15 like you. Oh man, they mad at me, bro. I'm gone. Just got the text. Exposing too much. Gotta go. My bad.
Biggie just brought up something that probably right.
What's that?
Who texted him, Figgy?
Probably LeBron.
Really? LeBron got you on this team, and you're sitting here throwing that out there. It could have been LeBron that texted him.
like, bro, like, I just forgave you after 2 years.
For dribbling the clock out.
Get off of IG, bro.
Get your ass off of IG.
Get off IG Live now, dog. What are you doing?
You were smoking a Swisher Sweet walking across town, and this is a true story. There's a video of J.R. Smith after he gets signed. He's walking around. It's either a black or a Swisher Sweet, and he's just smoking. And it wasn't anything rolled in there. It was a literal plastic tip Swisher Sweet straight off the couch. And you get to tag along with LeBron, and you're out there acting an ass.
J.R. Smith is going to be J.R. Smith, though. You know what you're going to get. I'm surprised that they brought him in, but I guess you'll deal with the devil that you know as opposed to the devil you don't know. And J.R. Smith is a known commodity. He can light it up. You know what I mean? He's going to act a damn fool. He's going to make you laugh. He's going to bring some good as far as the locker room, I think, with guys because he's just got that personality. When he mentioned the fruit by the foot, though, that brought back a great memory, dog. Like, listen, when you was a kid, and I'm talking about, I don't know, 9, 10, 11 years old kid, and you first got the fruit by the foot and you unpeeled that thing, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's a damn good snack, dog. Amazing. I don't know. Do they still have that now? They still got the fruit by the foot?
That ain't going nowhere.
That ain't going nowhere? No. Shout out to whoever came up with that idea. Just pull the whole thing out.
It's unbelievable.
What is that made out of? What is that?
Sugar?
I mean, yeah, it's not licorice. It's not like a Twizzler. What is that?
It's delicious.
It's just good. I don't know.
So good.
Sugar, sweet.
So awesome.
Sticky.
So awesome.
By the foot.
Really not as messy as it could be either.
Nah, it's clean. I mean, it's might be a little sticky on your fingers, but after you're done eating it, you ain't got, it's not any particles, you know, stuck anywhere. You good to go.
Of all the Sugar Rush snacks, Pixie Sticks, whatever. I mean, that was a little much for me. Pixie Sticks, meh. Ring Pops, meh.
You Sweet Tart guy?
Sprees.
Sprees?
Sprees.
I only got Sprees like during Halloween. I've never been to like a store and got Sprees, but they've always been like sprinkled in with Halloween candy.
I'll hit the Chewy Sprees.
Yeah?
Yeah. It every once in a while, it had a puncher's chance. If you stopped and you got a dollar or something like that as a kid, Chewy Sprees had a puncher's chance.
See, you get a dollar. Dollar as a kid, you got to get you some 25-cent chips and get you a thing of jungle juice. That leaves you about 10 cents left, bro.
There you go.
It's like 45 cents for the jungle juice, maybe 55, depending on what store you're at. And then you get the 25-cent chips, you're good to go, bro.
There we go. Wade Smith in for John Lopez. Shout out to all the loopholes. Hope you have a good weekend. If you don't have to work, more power to you. If you have to work, at least there's a little less traffic. Thanks to everyone who joined the show this week. Shout out to the OG John Lopez out there catching fish. Next week, going to be even closer. Inside 3 weeks for the NBA to resume. About 8 weeks for the Texans to get on the field against the Chiefs, and we're going to be damn near a week away from the Astros playing. For Wade Smith, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. Ron the Show Hughley and Clint Sterner are next. Hit him with the catchphrase, Smitty.
It's always real, fellas.
Hey, like you got to do tomorrow, you don't have to go to work.
Thank you, Figgy.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.